Good afternoon. This is Tamara reading the Rantoul Press for the week of September 4th. We'll start with local news. U.S. Representative Shimkus, a Smithsonian regent, visits Taylor Studios. From Rantoul. 2 days before announcing he would not seek another term in Congress, U.S. Representative John Shimkus, Republican District 15, was in Rantoul last Wednesday touring Taylor Studios. Shimkus was one of several Illinois congressmen who stopped by the Farm Progress Show in Decatur earlier in the day as Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue paid a visit. The congressman from Collinsville said farmers by and large understand the trade issues with China, even though they are being hurt by the tariffs. "I just came from a company in Arthur that's losing jobs to the Chinese," Shimkus said. "It's not fair competition, but unfair competition. Farmers are taking the brunt of this trade fight because of the commodity prices. I think the administration understands that because they've got the MFP, Market Facilitation Program, that is helping offset their loss. Everybody wants to buy and sell goods and compete fairly, so they're still sticking with the president, but it's a little more difficult." Farmers received $12 billion in aid last year, and $16 billion this year to help offset the drop in crop prices from the trade war. Perdue conceded, however, the MFP hasn't totally offset the commodity price drop. But that's not all that's troubling farmers. They went through a difficult planting season with wet conditions early, and now a lack of rain. There's some producers that are in a tough bind because they couldn't get a crop in, and if they did, it got flooded out again, Shimkus said. It's not the best time for them. Farmers were also riled when the president granted ethanol waivers this summer to 31 small oil refineries, saying they would not be required to mix ethanol into their gasoline. To compensate, U.S. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue said the administration is working on a package to offset the ethanol losses to farmers. Shimkus said the producer's number one concern is to get the U.S.-Canada-Mexico agreement passed. "They want a win on the book," Shimkus said. "They want something to say we're winning. There's too many things out there that we haven't closed the deal. Mexico's passed it. Canada's passed it. The only question is when will Speaker Pelosi put it on the floor? Most of us believe once she puts it on the floor, it will pass." He said it also looks as if an agreement with Japan to buy more corn is in the works. It has been an interesting time to serve in Congress the last couple of years. Shimkus, however, said it's just as contentious as it might seem from the outside. He said, for the most part, congressional representatives on both sides of the aisle can agree to disagree, and there are friendships between Democrats and Republicans. "We get those questions. You must really hate each other." "No, we don't. Most of us are friends," Shimkus said. "We've gone through the same litmus test. We've all gone through running campaigns, but these national cable networks drive this discord, and the people who are totally fixed to their narrative follow along." Congress agreed to raise the deficit and spend more money, which President Donald Trump signed. Shimkus, however, voted against it because it's too much. "But we move forward. That's done. I don't belabor the point anymore. Now how do we do with what's allotted, and how can I help bring back some of that to my district?" Shimkus said serving in Congress has changed in the last few years, pointing to a 24/7 focus with social media. "I worry about our culture a little bit, that people are more willing to hide behind Twitter handles, and you don't know who they are, and they can be very mean and vicious," Shimkus said. "It's not love your neighbor, be respectful, things you learn in kindergarten. They're just mean and vicious and unaccountable." Shimkus said there are fights on the floor, such as the recent occasion, when a resolution was put forth to condemn President Trump as a racist, which Shimkus said became very heated. He said it consumed the entire day. But the next day, 24 bills were moved out of committee, one on surprise medical building, another on robocalls that I think the public would want us to address. They weren't controversial, not contentious. We felt pretty good after that day of frustration. Taylor Studios plans, designs, and fabricates exhibits for museums. It is an area of interest for Shimkus, who is a regent for the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. Taylor Studios president, Betty Brennan, led Shimkus on an hour-long tour through the Rantoul business. Shimkus said there are a great many impressive people on the Smithsonian Board of Regents, including Vice President Mike Pence, who rarely attends meetings, and Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts, who always attends. "I'm fairly embarrassed when I go into this room," Shimkus joked. "We are looking for a national regent, and we're narrowing down the list. All of these people are water walkers. They are astronauts who left NASA, developed their own multi-million-dollar corporate company. They're smart, rich people. On the weekends, they feed the poor, and we're going, 'I'm not worthy.' The whole list is 25 times more qualified than I am." Willow Pond Golf Outing to benefit Toys for Tots. A charity golf outing and silent auction will be held Saturday, September 14th, at Rantoul's Willow Pond Golf Course to benefit the Champaign County Toys for Tots campaign. "This marks the first year for the golf outing," said Carol McShane, Assistant Director for Toys for Tots. "A bunch of people in Gifford and Rantoul got together and decided they wanted to raise awareness in northern Champaign County for Toys for Tots," McShane said. Founded in 1947, Toys for Tots was established in Champaign County 15 years ago. "We work through the Salvation Army. They take the applications for kids that need toys for Christmas. They review them and distribute them," McShane said, adding that organizers want to raise awareness that the effort is for the entire county. "A lot of people don't sign up for Salvation Army because I think they think it's just for Champaign-Urbana area. It's for northern Champaign County as well. Anyone 12 and under in need of toys is able to put in an application with Salvation Army. Residents can apply November 1st to 15th. McShane said this is one of several events designed to collect toys for the project. A large variety of items will be available for the silent auction, ranging from a gift certificate to the ribeye and champagne, to a free oil change, to a one-night stay at an iHotel suite. Registration is required by calling Patty Irvin at 217-841-0532 or Willow Pond at 217-893-9000. Piecemeal Senior Nutrition Program menus for the week. September 5th, roast beef and gravy, mashed potatoes, cauliflower pea salad, dinner roll, and warm fruit crisp. September 6th, turkey cheese sandwich with mayo, lettuce, and tomato slices, summer salad, bun, and peaches. September 9th, fish sandwich, macaroni and cheese, broccoli, fruit juice, bun, and pear. September 10th, beef and noodles, mashed potatoes, sweet cinnamon, carrots, whole grain wheat, and watermelon. September 11th, turkey salad with grapes, cucumber salad, fruit cocktail, roll, and apple oatmeal bar. Jones, a baking machine for annual cancer walk. Kathy Jones takes the cakes from Lincoln to Rantoul. Jones has made it her mission the last few years to bake a large number of cakes used in the cake walk at the Luke Remington I Made a Difference Cancer Walk in Rantoul. 40 of them, from cupcakes to sheet cake. Jones crams the baked goodies into her car and heads east to Rantoul, where her childhood friend Jessica Holmes organizes the annual cancer walk. This year's event is set from 4 to 8 p.m. Saturday, September 7th, at the Rantoul Township High School football field. Jones said she has known Holmes since early days when they were growing up in Havana, Illinois. "Jesse and I have been friends since we were in fourth grade," Jones said. "I just never had the time to go to the cancer walk. She always talked about it." That all changed in 2016. After a close friend of hers died of pancreatic cancer. Jones, too, was diagnosed with cancer and was finishing up with chemotherapy when she decided to start baking the cakes for the cakewalk, which has proved to be a big hit. "Daughter Victoria helps with the event, and we have a wonderful time, Jones. We love doing that. It's just fun to see the kids and even the adults doing the cakewalk. They're laughing and smiling. It's just wonderful to give them a cake." Jones said they have had a couple of police officers take part in the walk as well. Jones' oven is heated nonstop for about 2 days before the annual event. She estimated it takes 10 to 12 hours to bake them all. "I work hard on them," she said. "I bake on Thursday and Friday before the event so they're nice and fresh. I usually mix up the frosting Thursday and frost everything on Friday." She said transporting them is the fun part. The back seat of her car lays down and it's packed full, Jones said. April McLemore makes up the stepping circles with artistry by her nieces for the cakewalk. The circles are pizza boards donated by Monocle's Pizza. So many folks bake cakes, sweetbread, Rice Krispie treats, and cheesecake to win, Holmes said. This marks the 12th year for the Cancer Walk in Rantoul. Last year was a soggy one, and the event was moved inside the high school. Holmes said that won't be an option this year because homecoming activities will be going on at the school at that time. The walk has evolved over the years, but some items remain constant, Holmes said. We make the luminaries one by one in honor of or in memory of loved ones. They are a testament to those who fought or are fighting the battle of cancer. In that first cancer walk, Rantoul firefighters joined in to grill free hot dogs that Walmart sponsored along with chips and cookies provided by Eater Junior High School and the grade schools. The firefighters are back as well as the police department. And this year, Bank of Rantoul is sponsoring the water. A dum-dum tree is built by Michael C. Nelson. It holds dum-dum suckers. Some of the suckers have a blue mark on them, which nets the recipient a prize. New this year are sack races. Superheroes will be returning. Items come from all over, from Maryland to Nevada to Rockford. For the silent auction, which Holmes said continues to grow, as businesses and individuals donate homemade items, products, and gift certificates. Sharon Horsley makes a bear for the silent auction, Holmes said. This year it's an Elvis bear, in keeping with the rock and roll theme. More specifically, Elvis. A special number will be performed with Michael Soltis as Elvis and Lisa Dewey Shields, Dora Johnson, Sandra Moortreat, and Holmes as backup singers. The Lutheran Church and RTHS provide tables, and the high school helps to set up and take down the site. A poster for the event was designed by Richard Schmidt of Havana, and Credit Union One provided funds to have them printed. Michael C. Nelson will provide the music. We are happy to say no funds donated are used for expenses, Holmes said. 100% are donated to the local American Cancer Society and or St. Jude's. We rely on the generosity of individuals for donation of items. She said the more than $40,000 has been raised at the walk in the first 11 years of the event. This is a personal walk for many, Holmes said. Last year, five of the In Honor luminaries are now in memory. It takes a village to bring this event together. Open house for new courts set September 12th. A grand opening of the new Jim Wyeth courts at Wabash Park in Rantoul is scheduled for Thursday, September 12th. The event is scheduled from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Hot dogs and other refreshments will be served, donated by County Market. Pickleball, tennis, volleyball, kickball, and disc golf will be highlighted. A disc golf clinic is planned. Kickball will be played on the diamond next to the courts. The event is co-sponsored by Rantoul Park District and Rantoul Recreation Department. The bulk of the cost of the $150,000 courts, installed by All Weather Courts, will be paid for with bonds to be repaid for over 4 years. Rantoul City Schools will provide $30,000 towards the cost, and Rotary International has pledged $2,520 each at the local and district levels. The new courts have a 25-year guarantee not to crack. You could always count on him. Ludlow Fire honors Amsden for 60-plus years' service. Dick Amsden has seen firsthand how times have changed on the Ludlow Fire Department. When Amsden joined the department in 1956, things weren't quite as sophisticated as they are today. When I first got on, Amsden said with a laugh, they had like a four-wheel wagon like a hay rack with a water tank that was used to fight fires. The first one to the firehouse hooked it up to his car. They pumped the water by hand. How effective was it? It was, according to how soon you got there, he said. The 83-year-old Amsden, who now lives in Paxton, was recently honored for his 63 years with the fire department after stepping down as a fire trustee. Born and raised in Ludlow, Amsden joined the department when he was 21, the earliest a person could join. The district was formed around 1949, and when he joined, the department was comprised of 8 firefighters who lived in Ludlow, and 8 each on the west and east sides of town. When we got a fire call, we'd all head to Ludlow, Amsden said. He continued to serve as a firefighter until 1993. including a stint as chief from 1967 to 1982. After his firefighting days, he served as a fire trustee until just a week or two ago, he said. In some ways, Amsden, who farmed in the Ludlow area, preferred the simpler times when there wasn't so much paperwork to fill out after a fire. We used to just go to the fire, he said. Nowadays, you've got all kinds of reports to fill out. Everybody worked to put the fire out and then put the equipment away. Now it's just so much more complicated. There is also a great deal more training involved for firefighters. Amsden has seen the department grow over the years. The department, which has five fire trucks, built a five-bay firehouse in 2009. We've got good equipment, he said. We've been buying used fire trucks from out east, and they've been serving us real well. We've got one new small truck to go to the field fires. Amsden said there haven't been many big fires in Ludlow in the more than six decades he's been affiliated with the department, mainly house fires, although one of the north elevators at Ludlow Co-op burned. The biggest ones have happened in Paxton, where Ludlow responded via mutual aid. He remembers the fires that destroyed or heavily damaged the Middlecoff Hotel, the Lumberyard, Greenfront Tavern, 102 Lounge, Paxton Majestic Theater, the Chevy Garage, and the Broom Factory. Amsden said he has enjoyed being on the fire department, meeting the firemen. It was something to do once or twice a week. We usually had meetings. He retired from farming about 5 years ago. Pat Quinlan, a Ludlow fire trustee, said he joined the fire department when Amsden was chief. He was a good chief, Quinlan said. He's always been good to work with and open to new ideas. He noted that Amsden was a trustee when the new firehouse was built. He formerly served as board president. He was always there at the meetings and stuff, and the fires. That's the important part of being a fireman. Volunteer, you could always count on him. The role of the trustees is to manage the financial portion of the district, to handle the tax money, Quinlan said. They would make major decisions on, like, buying a new truck. Usually a chief or one of the officers would propose something, and the trustees would have the final say. We would go through insurance once a year. Amsden said he has kept busy lately, going to radiation treatments for prostate cancer. His first wife, Fern, died in 1994 from Huntington's disease. He and his present wife, Kay, have been married since 1996. Amsden has three daughters, Connie Lotion, Jane Self, and Vicky McCoy. Rantoul Township High School will celebrate Homecoming 2019 this week. This year's theme is Bright Lights in the Big City. Colors and cities for each grade are freshmen, yellow, Honolulu. Sophomores, red, Hollywood. Juniors, blue, Chicago. Seniors, black, New Orleans. Staff and faculty, white, New York City. Each day during Spirit Week will feature a different theme. Tuesday, tacky tourist. Wednesday, party in the USA. Thursday, class color. And Friday, school spirit, purple and gold. Events on Friday, September 6th include pep assembly at 2:30, parade from Congress to Tanner at 4 p.m., and football game at 7 p.m. The homecoming dance will be from 7 to 10 p.m. Saturday, September 7th in the cafetorium. We'll turn now to the death notices for the week. Tammy McConkie, 52, of Champaign, brother and stepdaughter of two Armstrong residents, died Friday, August 23rd. A celebration of her life will be from 2 to... was held Sunday, September 1st at Windsor Road Christian Church, Champaign. Flowers can be sent to Tammy McConkie Memorial, 1901 West Kirby Avenue, Champaign, Illinois, 61821. Memories, photos, and videos may be posted at sunsetfuneralhome.com. Harry O. Swenson, 95, who taught both vocal and instrumental music in the Paxton school system from 1949 to 1964, died Friday, August 9th, at home in Wheaton. A memorial service will be at 3 p.m. Sunday, October 13th, at Gary United Methodist Church, Wheaton, followed by a reception at 4 p.m. at the church. Internment with military honors will be at 11 a.m. Monday, October 14th, at Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery. In view of the delight he derived from barber shopping and his contributions to that particular musical specialty, the family suggested that those who learned from Mr. Swenson and cherished the music he gave them consider contributions to Fox Valley Harmonizers, E018 Elgin Chapter, SPEBSQSA Inc., 410 Suffolk Drive, Crystal Lake, Illinois, 60014. Funeral service for Benjamin Benny Dover Paxton were held August 31st at Evangelical Covenant Church, Paxton. Bear Family Funeral Services Paxton is in charge of arrangements. Mr. Dover died August 27th at Advocate Broman Medical Center, Normal. Maddie Garris, 73, of Rantoul, died 5:30 p.m. Friday, August 30th at Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Perry's Twin City Mortuary Service, 110 West Vine Street, Champaign. Ruth Buck, 92, of Armstrong, died at Country Health Care Gifford. A massive Christian burial was held Thursday at St. Lawrence Catholic Church, Penfield. Burial followed in St. Lawrence Cemetery. She was a member of St. Lawrence Catholic Church, Penfield. Memorials may be made to her church. Memories or condolences may be posted on her memorial page at blurtonfuneralhomes.com. Lester Gray, 68, of Champaign, formerly of Danville, father of a Rantoul resident, died Thursday, August 29th at Carl Foundation Hospital. Leek and Sons Funeral Home, Danville, is in charge of arrangements. Condolences may be sent to leekandsonsfuneralhome.com. Lester Gray, 68, of Champaign, formerly of Danville, father of a Rantoul resident, died August 29th at Carl Foundation Hospital. Marcia Calderon, 66, of Rantoul, died September 2nd at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. A funeral service was held Thursday, September 5th at Lux Memorial Chapel, Rantoul. Burial followed in Maplewood Cemetery. Nell Downs Wilkes Rollins, 75, of Farmer City, formerly of Rantoul, died Thursday, August 29th at Farmer City Rehab Center. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the White Heath Rec League in memory of Ryan Strickland or the Multiple Sclerosis Association of America at 1-800-532-7667 or online. Condolences may be posted at mackie-wrightfuneralhome.com. This concludes the reading of the death notices for the week, and we'll return and finish now with local news. Eagles volleyball sweeps Oakwood. The Rantoul Eagles volleyball team swept the Oakwood Comets in two sets last Thursday, winning 25-18 and 25-8. Leading the Eagles were Tania Young and Alexia Sherrick, who had three aces apiece. Young also chipped in two kills. Myjoy Williams and Madison Palmer each had one block. Eagles head coach Kim Wade talked about how excited she was for her team to get to 1-0. "We played really well, and it meant a lot to the girls to see all their hard work pay off," Wade said. Williams has been leader on and off the court for the Eagles, but on the court, Williams is the key to the Eagles' success. "Myjoy can do everything well on the court. She can pass, serve, set, and she is very dominant at the net," Wade said. Wade said being able to play at home was a boost for her team. "It meant a lot to the girls to have a showcase and to be able to play in front of their family and friends," Wade said. The Eagles will return home Thursday to face Judah Christian and Urbana. On Saturday, the Eagles will head to the Charger Invite hosted by Centennial High School. The Eagles' first conference game is September 26th at Prairie Central. Former APHS star Bird inducted into Hall of Fame. A lot has happened since Ryan Bird pitched for Armstrong Potomac back in 2003. After graduating, Bird attended St. Louis University. He broke records at both schools, But the biggest recognition he got came in the last few months, nearly a decade after his playing career was over. Bird was inducted into the Frontier League Hall of Fame. Bird pitched for the Southern Illinois Miners in the Frontier League from 2008 to 2010. In his first year with the Miners, Bird took home Frontier League Pitcher of the Year, going 13-3 with a 2.48 ERA in 21 games, 20 starts, striking out 152 and walking only 45, while allowing just 97 hits and 4 homers in 123 and a third innings. For his Frontier League career, Bird had a 2.96 ERA, along with 308 strikeouts in 289 and a third innings. Even with all the success he had, Bird never thought he would be a Hall of Famer. It is such an honor to be recognized alongside the other elite members of the Frontier League Hall of Fame. I played against many of them, and to be in the same class as these not only great quality players but also quality guys, it's something quite special, Bird said. Now that I've been away from the game nearly a decade, to think that my name will always be remembered as a Hall of Fame member, it's unbelievable. Playing not too far from home was a special time for Bird, and Bird said he couldn't have played for a better organization. The Southern Illinois Miners organization is the top minor league organization in all of baseball, Bird said. From the top down, playing for the Miners is a first-class experience. The community in Southern Illinois was fantastic, and their support, night in and night out, was great to be able to play in front of. A first-class organization starts at the top, and Miners coach Mike Pinto is just that. First class, Bird said. My manager, Mike Pinto, was a major part of my success as a player, as well as the entire success of the organization, Bird said. He built a culture that demanded excellence not only on the field, but also off the field. I will forever be grateful to Mike and his mentorship, leadership, and establishing the great Miner way. As he and we all say, Miner's way, always a Miner. Pinto had just as high of praise for Bird as Bird did for him. Ryan getting inducted into the Hall of Fame had just as much to do with who he was off the field as who he was on the field. Ryan was exactly what we want out of our players when we talk about setting an example for the community, Pinto said. Pinto said Bird was a fierce competitor and was absolutely dominant on the field. Every time Ryan got the ball, I knew we had a great chance to win, Pinto said. But Bird may not have gotten the chance to play for Pinto if it wasn't for his high school coaches. Bill Mulvaney and Darren Loschen, my two high school coaches, had a major impact on me as a teenager and helped me grow my knowledge and skills of the game, Bird said. Their mentorship helped me land a scholarship to St. Louis University, which then took my game to the next level. Loschen, who coached Bird in junior high and parts of high school, including Bird's senior season, said he always wanted to be great. He was a great student athlete, Loschen said. He always wanted to do his best in the classroom and always wanted to do his best on the field. He helped make those around him better. He wanted the team to be successful, not just him. Baseball started in the backyard for Bird. The two most important people who were always cheering me on were my parents, Bill and Susie Bird. Both my parents spent countless hours with me in the backyard playing catch and pitching to me. I would never have gone as far in the game without them standing behind me and cheering me on. Bird lives in Geneva with his wife, Taylor, and daughter, Taylee. Bird is Vice President of Commercial Banking for Byline Bank. This has been Tamara reading the Rantoul Press. I hope to read with you again soon. Have a great day.